Good morning. This is the day that God has made. Let us rejoice and be glad and effective in it. I know there's a lot of craziness going on in this world. And between this coronavirus and all the politics involved in all of that, and everybody's taking sides, and let me stop right here and tell you that all the windows are open here today. And of course, this is the day that somebody decided they were going to do acrobatics in the plane. So if you hear a plane, it's not you're not having a psychotic episode. There is a plane over top of the church, and so you may hear that. I know there's a lot going on with this coronavirus, and then all that is going on around the murder, and it was a murder of this young man this week, and then there have been other murders, and this is serious stuff, and I take it very, very, very seriously, and everybody needs to take responsibility for what's going on, and not just say, well, that's out there or that's over there. But I think it's so important for all of us. But I'm right now going to call out the Church of Jesus Christ. You can probably hear the airplane right now. I'm going to call out the Church of Jesus Christ. The problem in our world and country right now is not all the politicians that are fussing and fighting and trying to take advantage and leading us in a very, very twisted, goofy way. The problem in this whole thing with these police officers, there's something going on in this whole thing, and these African American and Spanish young gentlemen who are being killed and abused in this whole thing. I'm going to call out this morning the Church of Jesus Christ. Pastors, church leaders, anyone who names the name of Christ and calls themselves Christians, it is our responsibility to lead in all of this, not to blame, not to get caught up in the politics, not to get caught up choosing whether you're going to believe CNN or Fox News. What we are supposed to do is we as Christian people should absolutely be in this book and under the person of God's Holy Spirit to live above and beyond all of this and to love and to lead in the center of all this, in the grace and the wisdom and the love and the joy and the peace and the power. We need to be bold of Jesus Christ. What our country needs right now is not another op-ed in the paper or another person getting on and doing some YouTube video, or somebody getting on casting blame at the president or Nancy Pelosi or anybody else. What we need right now is for the people of God to come together and seek the face of God and ask for an outpouring of God's Holy Spirit and lead people to the love and grace and power of Jesus Christ. This stuff is real. This stuff is happening. This stuff is bad. This stuff is, I hate what's going on. But it's not my responsibility to pontificate or take a side. It is mine as a man of God. It is my responsibility to lead people to a unity in God's word and spirit to bring glory and grace and healing to this nation. And we only do that through the person of God's Holy Spirit. So as we begin today, I would like to just pray. And I want to first pray for the church, because too often the church is kind of stuck inside of its walls, trying to make sure the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed to please the church. And it seems like everything we do is for the church. And the influence that God intended us to have on a hurting, not sure what to do world isn't happening because we're stuck here. And my prayer is that the men and women of God would step up at their jobs or wherever and not take a side and not argue and not become one of the radical zealots, but that we would come together and we would lead people to the freedom and the grace and the love and the healing that only God can provide. And I know people would like for me to pontificate and talk more about this stuff, but the reality is that's what's needed, not all of that. So let's begin today with a word of prayer, praying for the church, praying for our country, praying for these folks that have been harmed this week, praying for our leaders, but also praying that we will come together and we won't just talk about this stuff, this racism, and how this coronavirus is being dealt with, but that we would come to a solution that God leads us to. Father, this morning, I pray for a wonderful outpouring of your Holy Spirit on your church, on your world, on these very frustrated and angry and hurting people that some of them are knuckleheads and some of them are just agitators and they are anarchists and they're under the dominion of the devil. But a lot of these people are hurting because their sons and their daughters and people that they know have been harmed by this bigotry and this racism. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would bless them with love and a healing, but that, Lord, you would bring us all together to deal with this racism, to deal with a dynamic that's been going on for hundreds of years in our country where some people just don't have a chance. Some people just don't have any opportunity. Some people just feel like there's no one around them to give them a hand. So, Father, instead of just throwing money and throwing words at this situation, I pray that we, the people of God, and we who call ourselves Christians, would come together and we would be part of the solution, not part of the argument, not part of the frustration, not part of the blaming. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on your church and that we would lead in the love and grace of Jesus Christ. Father, today I do pray for our leaders because they are acting like six-year-olds. And Father, I'd love to somehow get rid of all of them because none of them seem to, we want to take sides. Well, it's either we like Trump or we don't like Trump. And we like the Democrats or we like the, no, this is silly. Father, they all need you. And I pray for their salvation. And I pray for your wisdom on them. And I pray that you would reveal the sin and the selfishness that's driving them. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that especially for my children and grandchildren, that, Lord, you would lead them to realize that what they are doing is destroying what you want to make good. Father, today I pray that you would have your way as we meet together and worship together. And thank you for Britt and JC's worship. And Father, I pray for an anointing as I speak about your Holy Spirit and the day of Pentecost, because that's what we need today in our country and in our world. Bless us, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for loving us, even though we don't really deserve it. In your name we pray, amen. If you'd like to open your Bibles, we'll be in Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2, because today is Pentecost Sunday. And I'm not one to follow a church calendar per se. When I realized it was Pentecost Sunday, I just realized that I need to focus in on this. I need to help people to understand the person and the power of God's Holy Spirit and what He can mean in their lives if they will let Him, if they will ask Him, if they will focus and concentrate on God's Holy Spirit and what He wants to do in their lives. I don't have time to talk about this totally. I don't have time to do a whole doctrine or theology of God's Holy Spirit. But let me say this. God's Holy Spirit has been hovering over God's creation from Genesis chapter 1. It's not like the Holy Spirit all of a sudden appeared at Pentecost when there was a mighty outpouring of God's Holy Spirit and the church of Jesus Christ truly began. So He's been involved all along. But what I want to concentrate on today is the power that we can have in the person of God's Holy Spirit. I want you to hear this. I want you to understand this. There is nothing that God's Holy Spirit can't set us free of. I'm going to sit right there for a second. There is nothing that God's Holy Spirit cannot set us free from and heal us of. It does not mean that all our problems go away. It does not mean that something that's been a part of our psyche and our lives for 20, 30, 40 years just goes away. But I'm here to tell you right now that God's Holy Spirit can set you free. And God's Holy Spirit can heal you. And God's Holy Spirit can lead you and guide you and accomplish in you and for you and through you more than you could ever begin to accomplish on your own. And this is so very important because there's way too much Christianity that has very little to do with God's Holy Spirit. I know that sounds silly, but too often we kind of take up a very human understanding of who we are as Christians and how we operate, and we kind of get into this church mode and church ritual and church rules, and we kind of live like everybody else. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ, through His Holy Spirit, doesn't want you to live like everybody else. He wants you to live like you were created to live. He wants you to do what you were created to do. He wants you to be who you were created to be. And I'm looking you straight in the eye through this camera right now, and I'm telling you, you can be the awesome person in the image of Jesus Christ that you were created to be if you will allow God's Holy Spirit to be the center and the driving and defining force in your life. And I think this is such an important thing. When I talk about leading our country out of this mess, the only way the church or anybody's going to do that in their world is through the power and person of God's Holy Spirit. And it's so, so, so very important for us to understand that. The Holy Spirit was the person that Jesus Christ promised that was going to come after He accomplished His work on the cross and in the resurrection. All the way back, just before Jesus' ministry, was a guy named John the Baptist. And in Matthew and in Mark, John the Baptist looked at the people and said, listen, I baptize you with water. And that's important. It really is. It's an important dynamic. But he said, there's one coming whose sandals I am not even worthy to tie or untie, that is going to come, and he is going to baptize you in or with the Holy Spirit and fire. And Jesus talked about this throughout his ministry. Jesus told his disciples, listen, when God's Holy Spirit comes, he is going to lead you to all truth. This is so important. This is so important. Because too often we find truth in what we see in other people or what we hear from other people, and all of that is fine, and we need to listen, and we need to watch, and we need to learn, and there are people who leave a wonderful legacy that we can follow, and there's nothing inherently wrong with that. But God's Holy Spirit knows exactly who you were created to be. God's Holy Spirit knows exactly what you were created to do, and God's Holy Spirit will focus you in on that and help you to understand exactly who you were created to be and who what you were created to do. And you say, well, okay, you say that a lot. This is very important because there's a lot of people, good church people, who absolutely are nice people. They're not bad people. They don't do bad things, but they really have no clue who God created them to be and what God created them to do. And when God creates you to do something, he gives you what he calls the gifts of his Holy Spirit. And too many people in the church just kind of fill spots. Well, they need somebody in the nursery, so I'm going to do the nursery. They need somebody to help with the crazy teenagers, so I'm going to help with the teenagers. Or they need somebody to whatever. And I want you to understand, there's nothing wrong with helping in the church. And sometimes every one of us needs to step up because something needs to be done. But there's something that you were created to do that only you can actually do. Other people can try to do it and may do it to a modicum of excellence, but only you can do it. And I'm challenging you right now who call yourselves Christians. Do you know what your call and your gifting is? Because you will never find real fulfillment. You will never find a real contentment in who you are and what you're doing until you know what God has called you to do and has gifted you to do through the person of his Holy Spirit. I wish I had more time, but that's a subject in and of itself. And God's Holy Spirit knows the person that you were created to be. Everybody's got different personalities. Some people are bombastic and outright and just gregarious or fun or whatever, and some people aren't. And that doesn't mean they're good or bad. That just means that's who they are. And God knows who you are. God knows what your personality is. But he also knows that you were created to live in the image of Jesus Christ. And what he does is that he sends his Holy Spirit in us, and we'll talk more about this in a second, and he provides us what we call the fruit of God's Holy Spirit. It's love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and perseverance or long-suffering. And you say, well, what's that got to do with anything? Well, let me help you with something. Everything you need to be is found in that fruit. And everything you need to be when you ask God into your life and you are what we call born again or born from above or born of the Spirit is provided you, and you have the ability through that fruit to be that person. There are so many people who are so focused on their boo-boos. They're so focused on the things that have happened to them in the past. They're so focused and they surround themselves with people who almost push them in this direction. And they never, ever, ever say, stop. I'm going to focus on what Jesus Christ has provided me through his Holy Spirit. And I'm going to live out that fruit in my life. I am going to be love because Jesus Christ is love and he lives in me. So I'm going to be love. I'm going to be joy. Some people are like, well, I don't have the personality for joy. Everybody, it has nothing to do with personality. It has to do with God's Holy Spirit is in me. And no matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstance, I can, through the Holy Spirit, have the joy of my salvation. I can have joy because of God's Holy Spirit in me. This is so important for us to understand. And Christians, are you listening to me? Or are you so stuck in human religion that you call Christianity that you've got all your excuses down about why you can't be that great person that God created you to be? Every person I run into says, well, Pastor, I want to be happy. And there's nothing wrong with being happy. Happy and blessed, I guess, in the Greek are kind of the same word. And I like being happy. And sometimes there's a surface happiness because all my bills are paid and my wife's not mad at me and things are going good. But you have to understand, in the spirit, there's a happiness that's much, much, much deeper. And I can be happy even if all the earthly stuff is not exactly what I would like it to be. Well, that's just your personality. That has nothing to do with personality. Well, you're just that kind of guy. No. I'm that, and I know I can be that no matter my earthly circumstance or situation, because I have Jesus Christ through the person of his Holy Spirit poured out into my life on a daily basis, and he's there secure and solid every day. Therefore, I can be that person, and I can do what God would have me to do. A lot of people say, I want my life to count for something. Or a lot of people say, I want to be successful. Or I want to have a good marriage and I want to have a good home. And I want to make a good living. I want to be able to take care of my family in a good way. And you could go down the list. And I want you to listen for a second. That's God's will for you too. Now, when I talk about success, I'm not talking about the success that a lot of these success people are talking about, that if you think right and you envision it, you're going to make $1 million. That's not success. What I am saying is, when you're successful, it's because you have become, through God's power, through his spirit, the person you were created to be. You are doing what God would have you to do. And therefore, you are successful. You are happy. You are secure. You are leaving a great legacy. Your life really does count for something very important. And I think that's such an important thing to understand. You see, I want you to get this. I want you to understand. God wants you to be happy too. God wants you to be successful too. God wants you to leave a legacy too. God wants you to feel like you have a modicum of control of who you're going to be and what you're going to be. And there's so many areas we could talk about. But I want you to get this. The only way you're going to get there is through the power and wisdom and strength of God's Holy Spirit. And this is so very important. And I believe this for my life. I believe this for your life. If you're around me much, you will hear me say this. Some people get mad at me because I won't let them just kind of linger in this malaise or frustration or negativity. No, you don't have to be there. You don't have to be there. Jesus led and taught his disciples for about 3 years. And they really struggled. Sometimes they kind of took up an agenda that was different from Jesus. And he even had to call one of them the devil. And one time, one of their mothers came and said, when you get to heaven, will you allow my boys to sit on your right and your left? And I'm sure Jesus kind of shook his head and said, they're just not getting it. They just don't get it. The day Jesus is suffering and dying, and he had predicted this, he told them this. It wasn't like something that was a surprise to Jesus Christ, but they all went different ways and denied Jesus, and they were afraid, and that's just kind of who they were. They were kind of a disappointment. And Peter, who was kind of the one that was kind of chosen as the rock to be the initial father of the church, was saying, I'll never deny you. And yet Jesus said, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. And that's what happened. And I wanted to say that pointedly before we get to Pentecost. But Jesus told them, I'm going to die, and I'm going to rise again, and then I'm going to spend about 40 days teaching you, and then I want you to stay in the city, and I want you to pray until the promise of his Holy Spirit comes. And man, that's very important to understand. Because too often we just want it to come and we don't want to pray and we don't want to fast. And I want you to get this. This is such an important thing. But what Jesus taught them was, listen, when my Holy Spirit comes, I am going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. You say, well, what's that got to do with anything? Well, what baptism symbolizes is a death, and then we are raised to newness of life or the power of God's resurrection. What this symbolizes is that, and I want you to hear this, if there is failure in your life, it's not because of other people or circumstances, it's because you are not willing to die to your selfishness. It's all about you. It's about me, 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 and me. Marriages. The reason they fail is because all the stuff these lawyers and these people come up with, the reason they fail is because we're selfish. We want what we want. And if we don't get what we want, then we're going to be mad. And so we do the things that we do. In life, so often, people are so selfish and they have one failure after another and they're angry and they're bitter and they're depressed and they're frustrated and they live lives of despair because they think it's everybody else's fault or they think it's because fate and circumstance doesn't allow them to be anything special. I want you to hear this. The problem is you're not willing to die to your sin. You're not willing to die to your selfishness. You're not willing to get out of the way and allow God through his Holy Spirit to do the awesome, mighty, powerful, victorious work that he wants to do in your life. And it's so very important. But he says, when my Holy Spirit comes, I'm going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to crucify your selfishness. I'm going to get that garbage, that sinful, selfish garbage out of the way so I can do the great work that I want to do. Remember those disappointments called the disciples? Well, when God's Holy Spirit came, those same disappointments were baptized in God's Holy Spirit. And they had lots of disagreements. And all of a sudden, they were brought back together in unity. If you go back all the way back to Genesis 11, in a dynamic we call the Tower of Babel, it was a time where man built a tower because he wanted to become like God. And God basically brought the tower down and they all went in different directions, speaking all kinds of different languages. And it separated them and it kept them apart. On the day of Pentecost, God came down in his Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, every one of those folks there spoke in other languages and or understood each other in their own language. You say, well, what's that about? And some people have really messed this up and made it something that special people do. Now, when God's Holy Spirit comes, it absolutely pours out in you a love and a joy and a peace and a patience and a wisdom and a glory. That all of a sudden, instead of finding all the problems and all the faults in everybody around you, you're able to find them, children of God, and I'm able to hear them. And I want you to understand, this needs to happen in the church. I hear all the stuff that goes on. I hear of the fussing and the fighting, even over this coronavirus and the politics. And all, I'm just like, folks, that doesn't belong in the church of Jesus Christ. Love and unity belong in the church of Jesus Christ. And God brought everybody together and they were giving God praise instead of sitting around worrying about whether they liked the music or whether they liked the preacher or something like that. They were praising God for all that God had done for them. And God was doing a great and mighty work in their midst. I say all that to say this. Remember Peter, who had promised he would never deny Jesus? And Jesus told him, no, before the rooster crows or before the morning, you're going to deny me three times. And he did. And it was an awful time for Peter. It was a tremendous discouragement for Peter because he realized what he had done. And it would be tough for anybody. That same man stood up in the face of the same people that in fear he had denied Jesus just 40 days or so before, those same people, and he preached one of the greatest sermons in all of his church history. The same guy, because the Holy Spirit came on him, burnt out the sin and the junk and crucified the selfishness that kind of caused him not to be able to be who he really wanted to be in Jesus Christ. He preached this great sermon and it brought such powerful conviction on the crowd that he was preaching to that they said, oh my goodness, we are so sorry. What must we do? He said, you must repent and be baptized. 3,000 people gave their lives to Jesus Christ that day. And it went on, and that's actually where the church started. See, folks, we need Pentecost. Individually, I want you to look at your life today. Is there all this racism in your life? I love something that our district superintendent, he calls himself the district servant, did this week. In the midst of all this, he kind of wrote a letter admitting and repenting and for the racism in him. And there's racism in every one of us. Don't look down on him. There's racism and there's bitterness and there's hatred and there's strife in every one of us. We're born in it. The problem is if we hang around the right people, we don't realize it's happening. And he sent it to, I think, every African-American or black person that was either on his staff or he was good friends with or associated with. And I thought that was a powerful thing. But that only happens when God's Holy Spirit is working in you in such a powerful way that you are willing to humble yourself and ask, God, where is this junk in me? And that's one of the things that the Holy Spirit does. It convinces us or convicts us of the sin that is in us. Then through the Holy Spirit, he has the power to destroy that or crucify that in baptism in the Spirit. And I think this is such an important thing to understand. You see, the reason I say all this is because all of us could be so much more effective if we quit trying to do things on our own and started to listen to God's Holy Spirit through his word and through his spirit bearing witness to our spirit, where there are things in us that do not belong. There is verbiage in us that does not belong. There's negativity and doubt in us that does not belong. And then we can ask him through a personal baptism or a corporate repentance and baptism of God's Holy Spirit to get rid of anything that stands in our way of being the effective man or woman of God that God created us to be. Oh, how we need that. Oh, how we need people not just sitting in church on Sunday, but people that are saying, okay, God, how would you have me to take your gospel and your love? And if you want to look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8 at this point, I think the young ladies can put it up on the screen. If you want to look at that, it's so very important to see this and understand this. When God's Holy Spirit comes, you will receive power. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, let me ask you a question right here. Are you living by the power of God? Or are you living by your own abilities and your own wisdom and your own precepts? And I think that's very important to ask ourselves, because there have been many times in my life and my ministry where God has tapped me on the shoulder and said, I'm sorry, I'm not involved in that because you didn't ask me to be involved, or that's not my will. And I sin that way. And I think we all do it one time or another. But when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you, by the power of God, will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say with this? What I'm trying to say is this. It is God's will for you to go live before people, and in God's time, by God's wisdom, by God's leading, by God's strength and courage, because this is a hard thing to do, to tell somebody about his love. It is God's will for you to go live before people at your job so that you can pray for them, so that you eventually have the opportunity to tell them about God's grace and God's power and about how he's seen you through some very difficult times. Hey, I grew up in a very racist area. I grew up in what we call the Mason-Dixon line. And honestly, I lived and started a church in Philadelphia, Mississippi. But I'm telling you, the racism on the Mason-Dixon line, which is right between Pennsylvania and Maryland, the racism there was just as bad as Philadelphia, Mississippi. So there were things in my mind and my heart that were racist. There were ways I looked down on others, whether they be black or Spanish or anybody that didn't look just like me or even white trash. What an awful thing to say about somebody. And the bottom line is, I want you to understand, the only way I conquered that, and I have to stay on top of this all the time, the only way I conquered that was by the baptism of God's Holy Spirit, and he filled me with his love for people that I had never loved before. And I still don't do this perfectly. I still struggle. I still battle with that. You say, well, why are you talking about that? What I'm saying is that somebody has got to go out into a lost and hurting and bitter and racist and frustrated world and tell people that there is something better. Our politicians aren't going to do anything. They're just going to be silly, okay? The media is not going to do anything but stir it up because that's how they get people to watch their station or read their paper or their magazine. The only hope this world has is for the people of God to be baptized in or with God's Holy Spirit like at Pentecost and go out in a hurting world and begin to live and love in such a way that people see there is something better. There is something different. There is something that we can be and we can do to bring a love and a healing and a unity to this crazy world. And church, the only people that can do that is us. And it's not by joining a side in this silly argument or waxing eloquent because you understand it all and nobody else does. The only way we're going to win in all this is for God to come in the person of His Holy Spirit and burn out everything that does not bring Him glory or please Him. And allow Him to fill you with everything that you need to love every person in your world. You see, that's what Jesus Christ was all about. None of us deserved Him. None of us deserved His love. None of us deserved what He did on the cross or in His resurrection. None of us deserve Him sitting at the right hand of the Father right now, interceding or advocating for us. But He does it because He loves us. And you could sit around and say, well, they don't deserve it, or they've been bad, or they've done this, or they. But you see, we weren't created to think and live like that. We were created in His image to love like Him and to lay down our lives for every person in our world just like Him. I pray, men and women of God, that we would accept this responsibility, that we would allow God's Holy Spirit to so fill us that we have a power to leave our home, churches and homes and go into a hurting world and speak the love and grace of Jesus Christ, not the foolishness that is driving all this that's happening today in our world and our country. I pray that we would examine our lives. We would examine our marriages. We would examine our homes. We would examine who we are. We would examine what we're doing with our lives and our finances. And we would ask God, God, is there anything in my life that is not what You would want, that is not pleasing to You, that does not bless You? And God, if it doesn't belong, would You please burn it out? Would You please crucify it? Would You please deal with it? Because I personally, none of us do, have the ability to conquer and burn that junk out on our own. I pray today that You would really allow God through His Holy Spirit to show you anything in your life that is impeding the flow of His Holy Spirit, therefore love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, long-suffering, impeding any of that, and allow God to deal with that today by the power of His Holy Spirit. God bless you. Have a great and powerful and wonderful week. Let's pray. Father, today, I pray that You would have Your way. Father, One of the things that your word says is that your Holy Spirit convinces or convicts us of sin, selfishness, anything that would keep us from being everything you created us to be. Father, I pray that we would allow you to do that today. If there is racism in us, ugliness in us, hatred in us, bitterness in us, anything, I pray, no matter the excuse, that we would beg you by the person of your Holy Spirit to rid us of that garbage. Father, thank you for the person of your Holy Spirit and what he means to us today. Amen. Before I go, we will be opening next week. We will be having our service at 11 o'clock. At this point, the weather looks like it's going to be beautiful. And so we will have it out in the pavilion and we'll have things set up and it will be cleansed. And if you feel safe and settled, then you're more than welcome. And we'll sing out there together and we'll preach out there together. Now, if you can't be there, I will be videoing, taping, or whatever you call that, my sermon, and JC and Brittany will be doing the music so that you can watch it on Facebook or YouTube. And so that will still be there if you cannot be there. But if you can, we'll be out there. And I just believe God's going to do something extraordinary and powerful in our midst next Sunday. So you're more than welcome. Invite friends, invite family. It's going to be a precious time. And I just pray that you'll be there next Sunday at 11 o'clock. God bless you.